So we'd like to thank Karen and Jake Abelevis for sponsoring this morning's Lots to Learn. We learn Ishmael's, Jake's beloved parents, Leah ben Abba and Leah Bas Avram, and Karen's brother, Yeshua ben Shimon Dov, and Neshama should have an Aliyah. Okay, so you have a question to start off with, what time period we're in. So if you remember, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was around during when? Destruction of the Second Temple, right? That's 70 CE. That's when he was already in power, already had his prominence. And now we're talking about his students. So we're sometime in the 70 CE to 100 CE, 150 CE, somewhere in that time period. Okay, fine. So today we are going to discuss anger. So if you remember from last week, and if not, we can review. Source number one is our Mishnah, which tells us a bunch of things that Rabbi Eliezer said. Last week we dealt with how this really is three things. We're not done with that discussion, but for now, we're just going to be focusing on, let's read the first three things listed in source number one. Rabbi Eliezer said, Yikvot chabercha chabib alacha kishalach, or kishalcha, let the honor of your friend be as dear to you as your own honor. And then number two, alti noach lichos, should not be easily provoked to anger. And number three, we'll just read it now because some commentators relate it to number two. B'shub yom echad lifnei misascha, you should repent one day before, the day before you die. So today, focus on al tehi noach lichos, you should not be easily provoked to anger. We're going to start off with a non-Perkei Avos discussion, and we're going to talk about a contradiction that is very hard to reconcile within the Rambam. It's a very famous theory of the Rambam, very famous approach of the Rambam to midos, to character traits, to emotions in general. And there seems to be something that is lacking here. He seems to contradict himself from one page to the next. So in this year, for the first time in a long time, or the first time that I've actually really done this, I gave you a little bit of biographical snippets of the, I think most of the commentators, I don't know if I got every single one, for the purpose of just to understand the place and time that the commentators were in. I think specific, even though it's always important, I usually don't focus on it, specifically for this topic, I think it'll give us a little bit of a taste about how these commentators dealt with the problem that the Rambam seems to be bringing up. So number one, source number two is the Rambam in Hilchos Deos. This is where he deals with midos, character traits, our general belief system, things we should be, how we should approach our interpersonal relationships, our relationships with God, similar to types of things that you'd find in Pirkei Avos. So the Rambam, a little bit of a biography here, he died in 1204 in Egypt, but he lived most of his life. You know, he's known as a Spanish Jewish philosopher, doctor, astronomer, physician, etc. So here's what he says in source number two, Hilchos Deos, Perek Aleph, Halacha Dalet. So this is the middle path, the golden mean, famous concept of the Rambam. So he says, Haderech HaYishara, the straight path, actually very interesting. What was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's question to his students? What is the Derech HaYishara? And if you remember the Rambam, and we actually mentioned this, the Rambam in his commentary on Avos brings this as the Derech Yishara. Everything he interpreted was through this middle path lens. That's what Lev Tov, which is the best answer, the Rambam said that's really talking about the Derech Yishara. So there's a lot of overlap here, even though I said this isn't a direct Perkei Avos discussion. It really is, because we're talking about the same concept. So HaYiderech HaYishara hi mita beinonis, shebechol deya v'deya mikol adeyo sheyesho la'adam. So this straight middle path, in any, careful how he talks here, in any deya, so in any trait, this is what we need to follow. It is right in the middle. It's not on one side extreme. It's not on the other side of the extreme. It's straight in the middle. Therefore, these first original early sages commanded, warned us, exhorted us. Shei Adam, Sam de Osav Tamid, Umeshar Osam, Umechaben Osam, Bederech Hanso'es, Kadeshie Sholem de Gufo. So they exhorted us that we should put our Deos, our character, always in the middle. We should always be careful to analyze it, to weigh it, and to make sure that we're going down the middle path. So Ketzad, how are we going to give an example of this? Lo yehe ba'al chema noach lichos. You shouldn't be somebody who is very angry, and look at that language, noach lichos. Easily, sort of like you want to get angry, and compare that to our Mishnah, which said, al tehi noach lichos. The Rambam uses the same language here. You should, kideshlo yebal chema noach lichos, you shouldn't be angry person, easily angered. But on the other hand, below kimeis, she'eno margish, you shouldn't be like a dead person, you shouldn't be a doormat, you shouldn't be so passive that you don't feel anything. Ella, what should you be? Beinoni. In the middle. Lo yichos, you shouldn't get angry. Ella, al davar gadol, shiroi lichos alav. You should only get angry about something that's really worthy, that's big, that's worthy of getting angry. Now, again, it's a matter of where do you put that bar. And now another thing that's also not explicit here is, and it's important just for us to think about it, there's really two elements here that we should be thinking about. Number one is, what is worthy of getting angry about? But then also, what's the response that we should get angry, right? So there could be a external factor that happens that should now trigger my anger. But then the question is, when my anger is triggered, how angry, right? There's angry, and then there's, you know, like angry, right? So what level of anger are we talking about here? And then another thing, just to sort of spoil a little bit about what we're going to see is, or at least that we should be thinking about, is there's also a difference between my internal emotional experience of anger and then my external manifestation of how I show that, how I behave, what my, you know, facial expressions are going to be like, what my voice is going to be like, my tone, etc. So that's another thing we have to keep in mind. Right now he's not really dealing with that. He's just saying that you should be in the middle. What does middle mean? Don't let most things bother you, but if it's a big thing, you should get angry about it. So keep going. So what's the reason why, if it's something big, you should get angry? So what's the reason? So that it doesn't happen again. So presumably we're getting angry at somebody else, and by getting angry at that other person, our goal is, and I think this is important, even if we don't spell this out later, just keep this in mind, the goal is that it doesn't happen again. In something that happens in therapy, also anger is one of the things that I'm sort of good at treating. And what always happens over and over and over again, and there's a question that I always ask to get people motivated to want to change, is your anger helping you get what you want to get? Right? So and usually the answer is no. So keep that in mind. The Rambam saying here is that, yes, there's some things that are worthy of getting angry about, but for what purpose? So it doesn't happen again. So if you're getting angry about the same thing to your kids, to your spouse, to your friends, to your neighbors, for the past 40 years, right, I'm still angry at the same thing that they keep doing, then guess what? That's not really following. You know, you can't use the Rambam here as oh, I can get angry. Hold on, hold off questions. We got a lot to let's hold off comments for, but yeah, keep going. Yeah, sorry.
I'm not getting angry.
Right, so interaction between body and mind, this gets back to what I forgot who said it last week. Barry said the Ben Adam Makom, Ben Adam Machaber, Ben Adam La'atzmo, all intertwined together, right? So what's good for my body is good for myself, what's good for other people, it's good for my relationship with God. So there's a whole interconnection between those things. Okay, thank you. Now, so keep going. Where he starts talking, he's going to give you another example. I'm just going to show you what that example is, but we're going to skip reading it inside. He says, V'chein lo yis'aba el dvarim sha'guf tzar. So he's now talking about taivos, about things, desires, things we should, that we want to go after in order to fulfill some desires. Again, middle path is the way to go. We're not going to talk about that now because it's not our inyan, it's not what our topic is. But at least you get the point for the Rambam right now is what do we need to do? Middle path, even with anger. Okay, then in the same source, in number five, you can read this on your own later, he talks about, so let's say I lean towards one end of the spectrum, one extreme. So again, the goal is to be in the middle. So what do I have to do to get in the middle? I have to go to the other extreme for a little bit in order that I eventually balance out. That's how the Rambam understands how to fix going to an extreme. So now, flip the page. Here's where we get to the contradiction. Flip the page. Source number three. So Rambam explicitly said, middle path, anger. In the next chapter in Hilchos Deos, the next chapter, chapter two, source number three, Halacha Gimel, says, everybody with me? V'yesh Deos she'asur lo la'adam limhok behen bebeinonis. There are some Deos, he didn't mention this at all in the first chapter, he even said, I told you to focus on it, kol Deos, all of them is the middle path. Here he's saying there's some where the middle path is not good, inappropriate, usur, forbidden. Linhog behen bebeinonis, elo yisrachik min ha'katza ha'echad ad ha'katza acher. You have to go from one extreme to the other. What are these midos that we should not be in the middle? Number one is v'hu gova lev, in terms of arrogance. Again, not our topic right now, although if we had more time, we could relate it to what we're going to talk about, but for now we're just going to put that in the side. One mida, where you're supposed to go to the extreme and be incredibly humble, not just middle path humility, like incredibly humble, is in terms of the humility, arrogance extremes. Go on the, don't go in the middle, go to the humility extreme. Now, go to, just skip it, we're not going to read the humble inside. Skip around six lines down, where the first word in the line is miktsasa, and the second word is where we're going to pick up. It says v'chein ha-ka'as. If you're in the English, it's in the middle of around 10 lines down. You'll see the word anger. So he says v'chein ha-ka'as mida ra'a hi ad lim'od. Anger is really, really, really bad. V'ra'oi la'adam she'esrachek mimenu ad ha'ketzeh ha'acher. You should go to the other extreme. V'ilamed atzmo shelo yichos. You should teach yourself, train yourself not to get angry. V'afilu al dabar sheroi lichos alav. Even something that's worthy of getting angry for. 2 minutes ago, we just read the Rambam saying, you could get angry if it's worthy of getting angry. Here the Rambam says, it's usur to get angry. You should never get angry. It's a terrible mida to be angry, even for things that are worthy of getting angry about. So now here we're going to run into a problem. So we do have, again, I have to teach my children. I have to teach my, I'm a teacher, let's say. I have to teach students. And is anger ever appropriate or not? The Rambam, as we saw, at least, again, if done correctly, is under the assumption that anger could prevent people from doing things in the future. Again, we don't necessarily do it right that it works, but the Rambam's under that assumption. So now he's running into a problem. There might be something, as me, as somebody who's an influencer, I might have to get angry. Children, classroom, etc. I might have to get angry in order to prove a point. But he just said, I can't get angry. So what am I supposed to do? So here's his trick. If it's appropriate in the context to get angry, or on a congregation, if you're a leader, and you think that it's functionally appropriate to get angry at this point in order to prove a point, so they become better, they learn their lesson, you show externally anger, in order to give them that, show them that proper path, but internally, you have to be cool, calm, and collected. You're faking it, but really internally, you're not. And now we quote some of the of Chazal, and this is going to be important for our analysis. Anybody who gets angry, it's as if you're worshiping idols. If you get angry and you're a wise person, your wisdom is removed. It just dissipates in the moment of anger. who nivuasa mistalekas mimenu, if you're a prophet, your prophecy will leave you at the time of anger. Ubalikas in chayim chayim, somebody who is a balkas, presumably has the midah, has the personality trait, continuously, over and over again, is somebody who personifies anger. His life is not a life. Lefichach tzivu lehisrachek minakas. Therefore, they commanded, they exerted us to stay far away from anger. Achianik hatzmo shlo yargish afilu ledvar mamachisim, so that we eventually don't even feel it, even for things that maybe objectively, if that's possible, we can say if even if objectively they should get us angry, they shouldn't. Vizuhi haderech hatova, that is the straight or right path, the correct path. Viderech hatzadikim, and the way of the righteous is that even if somebody insults you, you don't get angry. So here we have a complete contradiction. In one chapter, he says you not only could, but should go with the middle path, know when it's appropriate to get angry and get angry. In the second, he says, no, never get angry. So now, you could resolve it perhaps, and this is just, what's the explanation? So you could say that maybe he means in, even though he doesn't say that in the first chapter, right? But you could, if you want to fit it in, you could say that in the first chapter he's talking about, when I say to get angry, I mean externally, and he just elaborates that on the second chapter. Most commentators don't go that route, and it's not so simple that that just resolves the contradiction. Yes?
As a teaching technique, we used to ask imaginary chests filled with guests, and ties if we needed to get angry, put the anger mask on. That really helped me not get angry.
So that's what the Rambam's saying here for at least for the second chapter. Yeah.
All of this discussion presupposes the assumption that one can control emotions.
So this is Chaim Lishitasa. We've had this discussion many times. So good. I'm going to take Chaim's question and just make it clear. My take on this. So the question is, are we actually in control of our emotional state? And if you actually look in Rabbi Abraham Tversky's commentary on this Mishnah, he asked that same question, and he says, you know, is it really true? I mean, the way that most people, or I don't know most, I don't want to put numbers on it, but lots of people conceptualize our emotional experience is that the things around us basically press our emotional buttons, and we have no say on how we react emotionally.
Immediately.
Maybe you could take a step back and reflect and change your emotional experience. So I hear that. I personally don't agree with that, based on both in terms of therapy style as well as there is psychological research that indicates differently. If you want to look into it, there's two. You can either look in the more sort of intellectual realm or the more popular realm. There's a podcast called Invisibilia, and I really recommend it. It's called something like that. Invisibilia, and it deals with this in the last season, all the way at the end, talks specifically about this, and they interview a psychologist, an emotional cognitive psychologist by the name of, I think it's Lisa, I'll look it up in a second. No, it starts with a B. So either way, the point being here is that it's I think, not true, right? We do have, might be hard and it might take a lot of work, but before, we don't just have emotional triggers that just get us. We think about things in certain ways. This is the premise of any cognitive behavior therapy, is that we think about things in certain ways that creates our emotional experience, and we have the possibility through training, through lots of work, and maybe it's a lifetime's worth of work, to change our thought process, our beliefs, if there's any distortion, if there's anything irrational, if there's anything religiously unhealthy in sort of the way that we approach things, then we can actually change our emotional experiences.
Somebody hears that their parent has shown died. Immediate reaction is something to be controlled, something you
Okay, so there might be, I'm not talking about parents dying right now, but there are emotional reactions that we could stamp as more religiously appropriate or not. Rav Soloveitchik talks specifically about this question. We're sort of far afield right now. Rav Soloveitchik says that that's why for aninos you're not expected. The one exception is when somebody dies right away, you hear that. If it's a karov, then you're sort of like all bets are off. Your emotional experience is your own emotional experience. And then through the avelos process is when you start getting back to more thought-related, you know, rational approaches to that. But that's a different story. But for the most part, in terms of, let's just focus on anger for a second. For anger, and I firmly believe this, is that through training and work, you can find what sort of thoughts you have. And the Mepharshim spell this out as we go, so you'll see this. You can find what thought processes you have that create your anger and then work hard to change them that you don't get unhealthily angry. It's a lot more to talk about in terms of what does that mean, healthy versus unhealthy, what sort of behavior, what sort of emotion inside. Maybe as we go through the sources, we'll spell that out a little bit more. But for the big point, just to answer Chaim's question, is that I do believe you could change your emotions. Emotions don't just happen by other people don't press our emotion buttons to force us to feel a certain way. Yeah.
First, he's using the term "they are." They are within the living, but the cast in talks. The second one says "nida," not "they are." So "nida," you have to get away from it. But they are.
So there's a "daya" of cast and a "mida" of cast.
Why does he change the language?
Right. Okay. So. So we have to, good, we have to, interesting, we have to think about that exactly, how to concept. So her name is Lisa Feldman Barrett. Lisa Feldman, the book is called How Emotions Are Made, The Secret Life of the Brain. Again, if you want to, Barrett, Lisa Feldman Barrett. What number, Invisibilia? All right. Well, I'll give you the exact podcast afterwards. That the book is by Lisa Feldman Barrett. The podcast, it's one of the last ones in season two, I believe. Back to our anger here. So in terms of how to reconcile, so Rabbi Shiloni gave a possible answer. No hearing, maybe there's other answers. Fine. In source number four, what you see here is a piece I quoted here from Daniel Frank, who is a Maimonides scholar. This is an academic article here, where he basically takes the approach that it is a contradiction and there's really no way of resolving the contradiction. And he says that it's really a tension between the Rambam's Aristotelian self and the Rambam's rabbinic self. So Aristotle, who the Rambam was very familiar with and followed on lots and lots of occasions, held that the golden mean is appropriate for every single midah, including anger, including anava, humility. It's always the middle path. There are times where it's appropriate to get angry and you should get angry. That's what Aristotle held. Chazal, this is the way at least Frank approaches it here. Chazal and the Rambam here, and that's the Rambam in the first parak. In parak two is the Rambam really channeling more of what he thinks Chazal are saying. Stay far away from anger. Not Aristotle says middle path with anger, but Chazal will say always stay far away from anger no matter what. So sort of this tension between the Rambam's Aristotelian self and the Rambam's rabbinic self. I want to argue that I don't think that that's an accurate portrayal or a fully accurate portrayal of Chazal's opinion. So, meaning, right now he's setting it up that Chazal hold, stay very, very far away from angry, never get angry. And that Aristotle said there are times to get angry. So the Rambam at the end, Paskins like Chazal and says never get angry. What I want to show you today is within rabbinic sources, based on our Mishnah and Pirkei Avos, that I don't think that's a fair conceptualization of what Chazal thought was appropriate for anger. And that even in rabbinic literature, there are times, and it is appropriate, to get angry. Again, a matter of degree, a matter of when. We're going to have to see if we can put the bar somewhere. Maybe we're not going to be able to. But to just say that the Rambam's here focusing, poskening like Chazal, never get angry, I think is not a fair assessment of Chazal's own approach to anger. So how to reconcile the Rambam, I'm not exactly sure. We can say this, we can say that, fine. But what I want to focus on now is, okay, forget about the Rambam for now. What does everybody else say? Right? What do all the other rabbis say about anger? And why, don't just say, okay, the Rambam says it, therefore it's true. Let's see what everybody else has to say. So, if you look at source number 5, actually, this is the Lecha Mishnah here is trying to reconcile the Rambam. So Lecha Mishnah is a commentary on the Rambam, source number 5, where he says that basically, how do you reconcile the Rambam of don't get angry ever versus sometimes get angry. So he just says, where are you going to put the bar? So at the end, where is he going to put the bar? So if you read the last line at the end, he says, El al davar gadol sheroi lichos alav kigon chil Hashem. So even the Rambam, according to Lecha Mishnah, would agree if there's something on such a high level of chil Hashem, that's worthy of getting angry about. If the Rambam didn't say that explicitly. The Rambam said, never get angry. But here he's saying that, no, the Rambam would agree that if it's something so big, like Chil Hashem, you can get angry. Keep that in mind. We might come back to that in a little bit later. Maybe not. Source number 6 is just going to be important to help us understand source number 7. It's a pasuk in Koheles, right? So you want to know what is Judaism's, if we can say such a thing. What is Judaism's approach to anger? So first, you're going to have to look through Psukim. You're going to have to look through Tanakh. You're going to have to analyze very well, and this is hard to do, the times where people in Tanakh get angry. It's all over Sefer Bereishis, you know, Kos, people getting, we're reading about it in every single parsha, basically, people getting angry. So we'd have to analyze that. That would take a really long time to fully get what's going on with the anger in Tanakh, or within the Chumash, and then, you know, in Nevi'im, and then in Ksuvim, we have what we call sometimes wisdom literature. We have, like, Mishlei, Proverbs, where we're told how we're supposed to act and comport ourselves, both in terms of behaviors and emotions, and also in terms of thoughts. So we're going to look in books like Mishlei, and we're going to look in books like Tehillim might have something to say about Kos, and we're going to look in books like Eov might have to say something about Kos. So we're going to look in, the pasuk that I have from you explicitly here is Koheles. So Koheles talks about, there are more psukim, and we're not doing a full, the goal today is not to do a full analysis of all psukim and Tanakh that deal with Kos, but just this one pasuk the other sources are going to quote. So I think it's important just to see it inside. So source number 6 says, Al tibahal beruchacha lichos, ki chas b'cheich kesilim yanuach. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry. Al tibahel beruchacha lichos, which is basically saying the same thing that we read in Pirkei Avos, which is, you know, Al tihi noach lichos. This is the biblical version of it. Al tibahel beruchacha lichos. Don't be easily angered. Ki chas b'chei kesilim yanuach. Because anger is in the bosom of fools. And so it's a foolish thing to always, meaning in the bosom, it's very simple. It's right there. It's in my hands. Right? I'm always, that's my go-to. Right? So be slow to anger. Now think about it. Slow to anger doesn't mean the same thing as don't be angry. So both this pasuk and our Mishnah in Pirkei Avos are going to be jumping boards to be able to see what do the commentators say. It doesn't say don't be angry. It says be slow to anger. So now what's the message? How am I supposed to interact with anger? So now go to the second page, source number 7. So it's the second literal page, page 3, our third side that we're doing, source number 7. This is the Akedas Yitzchak. So the Akedas Yitzchak is 15th century, Isaac ben Moses Arama, Spanish rabbi and author. So it's later than the Rambam by a good 150 years, a similar location. And he says something that I think is fascinating, debating whether that's worth going into completely. Yeah, why not? Okay, so in terms of, remember the Rambam said, Kas and Anava, those you go to the extreme for, even though everything else is the middle path. So I, as far as I know, and I'm not saying that I've exhausted every single possible source, but here's what I think a relatively explicit source that directly disagrees with this, and says that even with chaos, you go with the middle path. Okay, so look at what the Akedah Yitzchak says in Parshas Re'eh. He says, "V'hine mizatam hitzrech hachacham b'sefer amidos." I assume that's talking about the Rambam. I'm not an expert in Akedah Yitzchak, but it seems like it's a valid guess to assume when he says the wise person who says in his sefer amidos that he's talking about the Rambam. I'm not exactly sure, but he says, this is why the Rambam writes in the Sefer Amidos, or the Chacham writes in the Sefer Amidos, Shekishelo yada ha'adam lihizar ba'amida al hamitzua atzma. Let's say you can't get to that middle path. Be'ezo mehamido shei notel oso akatsa shehu pachos mutba elav. So therefore, you should go to the other extreme. So that's what the Rambam says. That's why I'm assuming he's talking about the Rambam. That if you can't find the middle path and you're leaning towards one side, so what should you do? Go to the extreme on the other side. So what's going to happen if you don't balance it out? You're just going to go to the other extreme, and it's going to cause you some level of destruction, death. It depends on the context, I guess. But it's not going to be good. So if you're on one extreme, you have to start balancing it out. Otherwise, you're going to keep going towards the other extreme. The Efshar Shezu Haisa Kavana Shlomo, and perhaps this was what Shlomo HaMelech meant, Kisha Amar, as he said in the pasuk I just quoted to you a minute ago, Tov Kas, different pasuk. Tov, he's going to quote the other pasuk in a second. This is the pasuk in Mishlei, Tov Kas Mischok, this is a pasuk in Koheles, but a different pasuk. I quoted you the wrong pasuk, sorry. Another pasuk. See, there's lots of psukim on Kas. But he says, Tov Kas Mischok, Ki Bero Aponim Yitav Leiv. So it's better to be angry than to be laughing, frivolous, I don't know exactly how you want to translate it. Ki bero apanim yitav leiv, because through this negative spirit, you will get a good heart. So what in the world does that mean, right? If you read that at face value, it's like, what? Like, what is he saying? So ki lefis, so this is how he understands it based on the Rambam, and based on this middle path and going to extremes. Ki lefi, shemidas tov leiv. What is this midas tov leiv? That, again, Pirkei Avos is all over this. Remember, Lev Tov, right? So what is this Midas Tov Lev that Shlomo is saying is the goal that you get through this negative affect, this negative emotion? He Mida Nechona and Sos. That's the middle path. Bein Ha'otzev, middle path between what? Bein Ha'otzev V'Haroges Hatmidi. So what we would call in personality psychology, neuroticism. Negative affect, negative emotion, depression, and anger, irritability, on the one hand, ubein haschok vehakalus, and on the other hand, you have this sort of frivolity, this good-natured, good-hearted, but sort of overly doing it. It's another extreme. Omar ki ba'asher yirtza adam liyos aleh v'lo yada l'chaven el tzimtzuma. So now, again, those are two extremes. We have complete negative affect on the one hand, and you have this overly positive affect on the other hand. We want the tov lev, which is in the middle. So how do you get to the middle? And notice what he says here. It's fascinating. If you find yourself on the, let's read it inside, v'lo yad l'chaben el tzimtzuma, shiyargil atzmo l'natos yotzer etzel ha'etzev v'hakas. So if I can't find the middle path, Shlomo HaMelech, according to that Akedas Yitzchak, is recommending that where do I go? To the negative path, on the Kaas, on the Etzev, on the sadness, the depression line, Mimashi Yargil El Haschok, rather than going to the other extreme of the laughter, frivolity, Ki Veroa Panim Yitav Leiv, because it is through the negativity that we get to the middle path. Vizemitzad, Ki Roa hapanim ba'kas hu inyan nimas ela te'el teva ha'adam. People don't want to, or at least most people, don't want to be negative. We don't like being angry. We'd rather be happy, right? We don't want to be sad, and we don't want to be angry all the time. V'kasher yargila adam atzma bo. So when you push towards the negative side, v'hechref yitcheo tevo v'yitcheo atzak tzayasot. Part of us is going to push back to that because we don't want to be that. So that's how we balance out to the middle. But let's say I said, again, we're trying to find the middle path. Let's say I said, instead of going to the extreme of negative, go to the extreme of the positive, what's going to happen? We're going to love it, and we're going to like it, and we're going to end up staying on that extreme. Right? El tzatzeas chok ha-nis'ayv alav. We want that. V'yimsa be'emsa'i asher hu tov leiv. So if you follow the negative path, you're going to end up calibrating in the middle. Mashlo yekenim yeta'atzma el tzatzeas chok. But if you go to the positive path, the simcha, the frivolity, then you're going to end up going all the way to the extreme. Now this is a fascinating piece, and you can reread it if you want. For now, I just want to focus on one aspect for our broader discussion. What's clear within the Akedas Yitzchak comparing him to the Rambam? That you could, first of all, you could be angry, and the purpose of getting angry is to go to this middle path, which is a middle path between frivolity and anger, right? I mean, this negative affect and this positive affect. So we want a middle path here that incorporates some level of negativity, some level of anger. So I think the source is fascinating. Again, it's the only one I saw explicitly that says that even for anger, we're looking for a middle path. And he goes so far that you should actually do more anger if you can't calibrate right in order that you eventually find the middle path. It's really mind-blowing, and it's a fascinating topic. But the point for us is that the Rambam's not the only person who has something to say about this. So even if you go with this Rambam, I should never get angry, but what do the other sages have to say? Obviously, the Rambam's the Rambam. But what does everybody else have to say about this? Okay. To the center, but even the center incorporates some level of anger. Right? So that's important. The Rambam would say, no, go. And again, he calibrates it. The Rambam wouldn't pin anger versus schok. And those aren't the same things for the Rambam. So it's different than the Rambam. And again, we can analyze this a lot. My big picture takeaway here is at the very least, there's room here for kas, and there's a middle ground even when it comes involves kas in the discussion. Oh, wow. 10:03. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're not going to finish everything today, which is okay. We'll save some for next week. So let's do a little bit more. So going back to our point, this could be a good jumping point to push off for next week. Tie back to Perkei Avos. We had this pasuk in Koheles that seems to indicate don't get quick to anger, but the inference is I can still get angry sometimes, just don't do it quickly. And then Perkei Avos, don't be quick to anger. Again, inference is there's sometimes that I could get angry. So now look at source number 6 is the Rambam. So the Rambam has a running commentary on Perkei Avos. So what is he going to say? I have an explicit Mishnah in Perkei Avos. Sorry, I went back to source. I messed up here. Okay, so we go from source. We go from source 6. We just did source number 7, then I go back to 6. Okay, so it's right where we just finished off. Okay, so it's 7 and then 6. So we're in source number 6. The Rambam, right, again, it has a running commentary on Perkei Avos, so we want to see who's lost. It's the next thing. Keep going. I misnumbered them. We go from 7 to 6. So don't turn any pages. The next thing. So what does the Rambam have to say on Perkei Avos? It says, don't be noach lichos. If I'm the Rambam, I think I have to defend myself. If I said in Hilchos Deos, never get angry, and here it's saying, don't be quick to anger, I have to reconcile that. So does he? Not really, at least not explicitly. So he says here, al tihi noach lichos, al tachin nafshacha lekas verogates. Don't, and I encourage you to try to translate this, don't prepare your soul, don't prepare your character, your personality. Tachin min prepare, don't.
Just opposite
what Akedat Yitzchak just said. Right, so don't, I don't know. Al tachin nafshacha l'chas verogeis, don't go in that direction. So is that saying, how does he reconcile this? Al ti noach. Is his al ti noach the same thing as al tachin nafshacha? I'm not, again, a Rambam expert here, but I'm a little bit lost in terms of how he reconciles this. Is he reconciling this? Is he sidestepping it? Is he not addressing it? And then he goes to quote Chazal, and he says, "V'kvar hifligu b'gnus ha-kas." We've already, you know, Chazal already said how terrible anger is, and they said that if you're kas, it's kilo of avodah zarah. The same thing he quoted in the Hilchos Deos, that it's as if you're worshiping idols, and there's some other things. Really, really, really bad thing. So I don't know. Maybe he is. It's not so clear exactly how he's dealing with this problem. Maybe we'll leave off with this source in the Abarvanel, source number 7. So the Abarvan. Things are at different times of his life. But remember, no matter what you do, you're going to run into problems with Hilchos Deos. So even if you had a this happens. You have plenty of contradictions between Mor Nebuchim, where he writes his philosophy, and the Mishneh Torah, which is where he writes his basic, you know, rabbinic, halachos type of thing. There's plenty of contradictions, and that's what there's plenty of Mefarshim and academics who try to reconcile the two if they can be reconciled. We have a bigger problem because he wrote Hilchos Deos chapter 1 something and Hilchos Deos chapter 2 something. So what are you going to tell me? He wrote one later on in life and then inserted in? Maybe, but if he does that, presumably he would want to address the fact that he said something differently beforehand. Like, I'm giving you, if I'm writing a book to you and one chapter is this and one chapter is that, even if you want to say he wrote them in different parts of his life, then he has to reconcile that. He doesn't necessarily have to do that between different books at different stages, and that, again, that gives us a lot to work with, but our contradiction is inherent in the Mishneh Torah itself. So, yeah. Right, that's what he's saying in the second source. In the first source, he's saying that it is appropriate at times. So that's where we need to, and now again, Perkei Avos, he's not really indicating to us how he deals with this alti noach lechos. So we're not, at the end of the day, I don't think if you're looking for a resolution in the Rambam that you can say, I firmly believe this is what the Rambam meant, I don't think you're going to get it. I don't think there's going to be a firm resolution. And for that reason, actually, is why I want to go in a different direction. Forget about the Rambam, right? We can't look at the Rambam necessarily and say, this is our parallel source. This is our formative, the source that we have to go with to understand anger, because he himself contradicts himself. And I don't even know if what he says about going to this other extreme is inherent in Chazal either. Because he just quotes, why does he say never get angry? There's no specific source in Chazal that says you can never feel anger. The one thing he quotes is that there are times where Chazal say, if you get angry, it's like you worship idols. That's a bad thing, but we need to understand that too. Is Chazal saying you can never get angry? To make it a little bit more confusing, and not necessarily that we're going to resolve all of this, but this happens in English too. This is a semantic question. When we use the word anger, it gets back to what I brought up in the beginning. What do I mean by anger? So my anger could be like, you know, I really don't like you to do that. And my anger could be smashing this, you know, stender against the floor and punching people and breaking things or yelling at the top of my lungs. But we use the same word anger. And it's the same thing in Hebrew. Again, there are synonyms and you can use degradations, but even that's not so clear. You could have a rage, but those things aren't, we still use the same word anger, and the same thing with kas. Chazal, when they use the word kas, when Sukkim use the word kas, they use the same word kas, and we don't know what they mean. Do they mean a little anger, a medium anger, a high-level anger? So we don't know. So just because Chazal say, kol ha-koes kilu obed avodah zarah, doesn't mean that when I get like frustrated or yell at my children for doing something that's inappropriate, even if I do feel that inside, that means that I'm worshiping idols. Right, it's not, so it's not, so this is a bigger picture. So is there a derisa not to get angry? Maybe yes, maybe not. Because there's a drush on Lo Sivar Reish B'chol Mosh Voseichem that when it says don't create a fire, some say that that means don't create a fire internally, means don't get angry. The Rambam, this is actually an important point. I'll take your questions in a second. The Rambam actually makes an important point. All midos, I think we spoke about this in the beginning. When it comes to midos, character, is there a mitzvah at all about character? Is there a mitzvah to be a good person? To have? So the answer is probably, but it's not so clear.
There's a famous Rav Chaim Vital, I'm pretty sure we quoted this maybe in the first year. Rav Chaim Vital says, how come there's no specific Taryag mitzvah, one of the 613 mitzvahs, to be a mensch, to be a good person? And he says it's because it's the foundation. It's necessary. It's a prerequisite, basically. It doesn't even have to be said. But the truth is that that answer, the question's not really a question according to everybody. As Yanki just said, maybe within Bahafta L'Reacha Kamocha, there's elements of this. Basisa Yashar Batov, to do what's right. And just there's elements of this. The Rambam thinks that there's a mitzvah of Bahalachta B'drocha, to walk in God's ways. And he actually starts Hilchos Deos with, this is the mitzvah that we're talking about. To walk in God's ways is a mitzvah. And here's where it gets tricky, though. So what does it mean to walk in God's ways? So the Rambam says, what does it mean to walk in God's ways? Never, ever to get angry, right? Because God never gets angry. So now you have to, the Rambam deals with this. But what about the fact that it says all over the place that God gets angry? So the Rambam, again, this is more of a philosophical discussion, but the Rambam says God never feels angry, but he externalizes the anger to prove a point. But basically, what's the Rambam doing here? And again, this is a huge discussion, and we're not giving it enough time. But the Rambam's basically, if you want to be cynical for a moment, is picking what he thinks the right way of anger is, and then working backwards and saying, this is the mitzvah, right? So it's within his philosophical realm, how he understands things, saying, okay, so there's a mitzvah, balakta b'drachah, never to get angry. But again, you're jumping to conclusions on lots of different pieces here. So let's take a step back for a second. Before I take your questions, I just want to read the Yavar Benel. We're going to close with this, and then we'll save some time for questions. So the Yavar Benel, I think, is a good segue to see what the other commentators are going to say. So just in terms of who he was, and he's important because he fights with the Rambam a lot. He's much later than the Rambam, but he calls the Rambam to task on a lot of the philosophy that the Rambam brings up. 15th century Spain, he was the... He was a philosopher, statesman, Bible commentator, financier. Okay, so what does he say here? Ukvar, it's hard to read, but I'll try my best here for you. Ukvar Amar Shlomo, this is a commentary on Perkei Avos, on Alti Noach Lichos. Shlomo Amalek already says, Bikas Bechei Kesilim Yanuach. Shlomo says that anger, like this is the pasuk we quoted, that anger is in the bosom of the fools, meaning it's always easy for them to get angry. Lo amar timatse, thank you, my Hebrew grammar is not great, aval tanuach. Lefi, so it doesn't say it's not found, it says it's not easy, it's not, you know, resting. Lefi, and we'll see what this means, shehahit chad shut, Hakaas, he davar tivi. Chaim, this one's for you, right? Well, sort of, not really. He says that the generation of anger is natural. I don't think he's saying that it's automatic, but he's saying that it's natural. And this is true. Anger is a universal emotion. Everybody feels anger. And this is the problem with the Rambam, right? The Rambam says, never feel angry. It's not a therefore it's impossible, but if it's natural for me to feel angry, so you really want to say I should never feel angry? The Barbanel says it's a little ridiculous. It's natural. It's a universal emotion. It's not always unhealthy. There are times where it's actually productive and healthy. Again, Lefisha Hiskatra Sakas, he dover tivi, lo yimoli ta adami meta. Now he's going even further. It's never gonna disappear. You're never gonna be able to completely avoid kas. Aval roish lo yanuach hakas, shouldn't be easy. V'lo yeshev alibo zman rab, it shouldn't also stay with you for a long time. You shouldn't ruminate about it forever. You shouldn't hold that anger for a long time. That's the lo yanuach. It shouldn't rest with you. Ki im tamid ya inyano sichlos lokas. So you should start thinking about it rationally, thinking about it from a broader perspective. That's where you got to take your step back and work with it. But the idea of kas being a universal emotion, that's, you're never going to get rid of. So that's not the goal. The goal is not to get rid of kas. It's to control kas. And again, to know when is it appropriate, when is it inappropriate. How long do I hold on to it? When am I supposed to let it go? And that's, I think, a good segue. So what we're going to start doing next week is to see what the commentators do how they deal with this idea of kos within this Mishnah of Perkei Avos. We'll take a few minutes of questions. Yes, fine.
So this posting with Moshe and the Luchos for Yichar of Moshe.
Yeah.
Was he doing what you suggested before, that externally he was showing it to teach Kol Yisrael, but inside he was really okay?
So maybe yes, maybe no. What you're going to have to look is in the Rambam and the Morat Baruchim deals with, I don't know if he deals explicitly with that one, but he definitely deals with, the Rambam says that what was Moshe's sin by the rock, by hitting the rock? What's the sin? That he got angry. And it was inappropriate for him to get angry at that point, and it's inappropriate for him to get angry ever. And he actually says explicitly there that one of the biggest problems there, it's not just an anger emotional problem, but it's a philosophical problem. Because according to the Rambam, God doesn't get angry, and Moshe as a leader, by getting angry, is indicating, the Rambam says, that the people are going to think that God also gets angry. And that's a really bad thing, according to the Rambam. That you're going to think God gets angry because Moshe gets angry. So that's why Moshe was punished so much. So Moshe does struggle with anger. In each section, is it that he faked the anger or he felt it? See, I'm not sure. I'm not sure we're ever going to know. The Rambam, at least in one place, as far as my knowledge, says explicitly that his problem was at one point that he actually felt the anger and expressed that anger. Yeah. That's what the Rambam says in the second source, right? You could say that's what he means in the first source. Again, you could say that. It's not that clear that that's true. But if you want to resolve it that way, go with it. Yeah.
Is there anything written in the notes about how one responds to a very angry person?
How to respond to an angry person? Off the top of my head right now, I can't put it together. I'm sure that things are said in Perkei Avos that are related to that. I don't know if there's anything explicit that says this is what? Right, so Lokainitzor, we say, right, that we're not supposed to respond. I mean, the Rambam actually said that. If you read the bottom of source, you read the bottom of source number 3, all the way at the bottom, this is the Gemara. It says that if somebody gets angry, if somebody insults you, the extra credit response is not to say anything and not to let it bother you. Again, not so easy, and that's the extra credit response. It's not necessarily the natural or the, you know, one that comes to us right away. It's not easy to deal with people who are angry. I think we've alluded to it in the past in terms of being assertive. We never fully addressed it. Yeah.
Just thinking that in order to really get like an opinion or just get knowledge about what cause really is, what is it or not, and I didn't obviously have to cover that. But what comes to mind is that kos is generally used by Hashem in the words of Avodah Zarah. So what is involved in people that actually worship Avodah Zarah? What is their tefillah? What is their nature? What makes them worship God? Is this something that leads to like a kos type of behavior? Or that God is angry? Do you know what I'm trying to say? Like,
right, so
kos connection.
So there is again, there is a connection. I don't know if it's every single time in Tanakh. You'd have to look it up. Probably not. But you know, even if there are a bunch of times, and I would say even midrashically or from the Gemara. So then maybe there's a hint or a message from the fact that we say if you get angry, it's like you're worshiping Avodah Zarah. So there might be a reciprocal thing there. Again, let's keep that in mind. See if you see anything that comes up with that.
Have there been any studies made on bringing up children?
Meaning that the parent is displays anger?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. Again, you're going to have to, if you want to get really nuanced, what does that mean? Am I faking the anger or do I feel the anger? When am I displaying the anger? What level of anger? Is it anger that's specific, that's controlled, that's consistent? or is it erratic? Is it based on my mood? Is it based on etc.? In terms of parent training, one of the first things that if you want to be effective as a parent, if you're trying to change the behavior of a child that you find unproductive, or if you want to even live emotionally better, is to keep your anger under control. If you're going to display it in a way, again, that's consistent and that's clear and that's not sort of scary to the child. But again, we're not going to do a whole workshop on that right now, but it's a good question. Yeah. Great grandparents, Muslim. Okay. Only grandparents. Right. Okay, it's more complicated. Okay. How do grandparents or great grandparents, they want to educate their grandchildren, great grandchildren, but also not insult their children? Or that's for the advanced class. We're not there yet. Yeah.
I just want to explain the pasuk.
Yeah.
From the Rambam, we thought that this is good to be a good. He says simultaneously, while you show loa panim, but you show good heart, it means you love at the same time. You're angry, you show externally. Panim, you show it, you're angry, but balev, you love.
Okay, so I guess so. Maybe internally, maybe love, maybe sometimes externally, I have to do it. There are actually flip sukkim. I just did it in the 10th parak of Mishlei. I was learning that, just connected now from where you said it, that says the flip isn't good either. So let's say I'm angry internally, but then display positive or friendly on the outside. That's not good either. So Mishlei says that that's not so good. The Rambam also says, it's the same idea. If you have a problem, if you have something that's sort of like bubbling up inside, don't hold it in. You have to express it in an appropriate way, etc. Yeah. Right, that's it. Barbara Nalchi says that explicitly, that the way to get rid of kas, the way to get rid of kas is to connect number 2 and 3 in our Mishnah. Right? So think about the day of death. This is one way to do it. Right. Right, so we're probably going to do this in the future, but since Barry said it now, so in terms of that thought process, the belief system that affects our anger, if we internalize on a religious level that everything God does, that everything is really from God, right? So when my friend gets angry at me, right, and now I'm saying I have to, or does something that insults me, now I have to get angry back at him because how dare he do that? If you internalize that even him doing that is God's will for whatever reason, this isn't easy to do, but if you can internalize that, then in theory, that should decrease the level of anger. Yeah. For another time, yeah. Out of love, right, and that's important. Again, there's even the Rambam would say that there are things that should be communicated. The method might change also, right? Again, according to the Rambam, if I have a choice and love is going to prove a message or kas is going to prove a message, and functionally at the end it's going to get to the same result, so should I choose love or should I choose anger? Presume, maybe it doesn't address it directly, but there's no mitzvah to get angry according to the Rambam, right? I can fake the anger in order to prove a point, but again, we're far afield right now. Okay, I think...
Right. So let's we're gonna pause now. We're gonna step. We got plenty of time. We're gonna talk about it next week. Let's bench. It's a little bit late already. We're gonna bench and go. Next week we'll continue our discussion of anger. At some point we'll move on to the other parts of the Mishnah. Chaim, please lead us in benching.